Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight. So if you like to listen on demand, you can always do that via podcast on most of the major podcast sites out there. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. You can also catch Tom's Tirade on CastBox.net. And we are still working on rebuilding the ScuttlebuttNetwork.com website. So give us just a little bit of time, and we'll have lots of information for you there via our website. Coming up later on the show tonight, we'll talk with Ms. Mary Howard from Lifeline's Counseling Services. She will get us up to speed on everything they have to offer our veterans and the community in these trying times. We'll also speak with Mr. Panini Pete from Ed's Seafood Shed to give us the latest on how the virus is impacting our local restaurants. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on Me Think Thou Dost Protesteth Too Much. That's a lot of words in there, Tom. I hope you got all of them.
Yeah, had trouble spelling all those, much less pronouncing them.
But there you go. But first, the riots that have swept the nation in the wake of the death of George Floyd have been hard to avoid as news outlets, pundits, and politicians have weighed in on the horrific images from across the land. Nowhere has that scene played out with such drama than in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., with threats from President Trump that he will use the military to quell the uprising if necessary. The mayor of D.C. is pushing back. And it's kind of an interesting back and forth here, Tom, when you have the president. And, of course, I mean, obviously the president is living in D.C. because you have the White House there and the residents there, as well as, the Capitol and which you have the House and the Senate, the Supreme Court, all of the federal buildings that are there. But the back and forth between the president saying that you know, that he wants to have the protests, the riots, whatever you want to call them, in D.C. Put down and shut down, and he has even said that if the mayor of the District of Columbia, Muriel Bowser, if she will not take the steps necessary to do that, that he would bring in the National Guard or bring in the military if necessary, that he might even send active duty combat troops to quell the riots. And, you know, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, shot back. And here's the thing, Tom. You know, I don't think anyone in their right mind would say that what is going on with the looting and destruction and the fires and the businesses that have been destroyed, that any of that is good for anybody except the ones that are walking off with a brand new television.
Right, right.
But to say that, and I know there, you know, in past situations like this, you've even had politicians that said, well, you know, we're just going to let them do their thing, let them get it out of their system. Well, yeah, that's, like I said, that's fine for the ones that are getting a new TV out of the whole deal. It's not so good for those who are having their homes, their businesses, their communities
destroyed. Yeah.
And we've seen in D.C., Tom. I mean, there was a historic church that was part of it was burned. There have been a number of other buildings that have been vandalized, businesses, monuments, and for the mayor. In much the same way, I will say, Tom, as the mayor of New York City, where these riots have become quite violent and destructive, but they seem to be working off the same page of, we don't need the National Guard, we don't need anyone else coming in, our police are going to take care of it. And the problem is, your police aren't taking care of it.
Right. Well, they've tied their hands to and told them what they could and what they couldn't do, rather than letting them stop the abuse of facilities and then breaking and entering all these buildings and stealing stuff. We don't have a problem with people marching. We don't have a problem with people protesting. I mean, that's our right. That's our God-given right. But when you start hurting other people, destroying property and pillaging the area and destroying all these facilities, well, you don't got out of hand now. That's a different story.
It really is, and I think there we'll find out as the days go by that somewhere in all of this there has been a concerted effort. There, even though it may be, there may not be a unified command, I think there is some sort of structure where these violent protesting groups, mainly centering around Antifa, I believe, have been doing some sort of command and control with these riots in the various cities, and even within the cities, as to how they're going to go about it. And you know, Tom, here's one of the things I think that you know, I mentioned that they had done some damage to one of the churches there in D.C., St. John's, which has been called, I think it's been called the President's Church, because I think every president for decades has attended services there. And you have them destroying or vandalizing places like that. But they go so far, Tom, as to vandalize the National World War II Memorial.
Right.
And you know, this occurred over the weekend. Just answer me this, Tom. How does vandalizing that memorial, and that was not the only one, right, but how does vandalizing that memorial have anything to do with
didn't have anything to do with
that
what
they want social justice?
Yeah, what they're doing. Same thing happened here in the Mobile, you know, area with the Admiral Sims statue down there. You know, they're defacing it and spraying paint on it and all. You know, come on. You know, what do you have to do with y'all? You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah. My guess is, Tom, is that if you were able to find out who the folks are that defaced that monument and then ask him who Admiral Sims was,
he don't know.
He probably
he don't know.
Yeah, they would probably have no idea it was just a statue that they
Oh, I thought about. That was a Confederate general. You know, come on.
Yeah.
But they have him anyway. They caught him.
But yeah, well, you know, but you've got, as I said, the National World War II Memorial was vandalized. I just don't understand why you go after something like that, except for the fact that you were simply looking to stoke the flames,
that's
literally,
all.
That are burning around the nation.
That's all it is.
And that's not the right place to do it at all. Hey, on the other side of the break, Mr. Panini Pete from Ed's Seafood Shed when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Also, you can catch us on the TuneIn app on your smartphone or social media device. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And, Tom, going back to what we were discussing prior to the break, the World War II Memorial was not the only one of the landmarks in D.C. that were vandalized with these protests over the course of the weekend. And, I kind of found it somewhat shocking that you had really the direct assault on the grounds of the White House itself, which is something that you really haven't seen when these protests have occurred in the past.
Right. Yeah, you don't normally see that. You know, they know that, there's so much armament and so many people around that area. You'd be foolish to try to do something there once you get to, you get to that sidewalk.
Well, you would think so, but it's almost as if this mob mentality that has gripped some of these protests is that, there are so many of us that, we can basically go and do whatever it is that we want to do, whether it's, we want to ransack, the flagship store for Macy's up in New York. I have friends in New York, and, they're talking about the fact that, the vandalism and the destruction and everything that went on, it was right around the corner in their neighborhoods.
Right. It's unbelievable. And just for the heck of it, there's a paragraph in there in that story that we were talking about. Give us a rundown on the different interagencies that was involved in clearing the Lafayette Square.
Well, and this again, this goes back to the sort of the back and forth that is going on between the president and the mayor of D.C. because, President Trump decided that he wanted to go and visit St. John's, which is the historic church that was vandalized. Part of it was set ablaze by the protesters over the weekend. And the president decided that he wanted to visit the church, and apparently it is within walking distance of the White House. And after the visit, the news media just went crazy because they're saying that the protective detail that the president was using to walk, when, you know, on his walk over, had used tear gas, flashbangs, and rubber bullets against protesters across from the White House in terms of clearing that area around Lafayette Square on Monday evening. Now, the interagency force that cleared the streets near Lafayette Square included the National Guard, mounted U.S. Park Police, the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, the U.S. Marshals Service, and the Bureau of Prisons. Now, you've got all that alphabet soup of yes. agencies
yes.
that were there. You know, I'm surprised that you didn't have, like, Tommy Lee Jones out there looking for the
don't
fugitive.
You know? Yeah. But, you know, they were bad-mouthing the National Guard because they said the National Guard is one that did the tear gas and the rubber bullets and all. But we've been advised that by the National Guard people and their PR people, they weren't even armed with that stuff, so they didn't do it.
Well, correct. And of course, the other thing that has been tossed at Trump is that he used this force to clear the park so that he could get a photo op at the church. Now, I saw some pictures. I mean, he's holding a Bible in front of the church. I don't know what his statement was in terms of being there at the church. I believe he made some reference to the fact, you know, that these were, the folks that did this are not living
right.
up to what's
right.
in the Bible,
yeah.
which, you know, sounds, pretty straightforward to me.
And I think we have Pete on the phone, too.
But his critics said that
All
okay.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, his critics said that it was just a photo op. Yeah, and so, again, Tom, I mean, it's that back and forth between the mayor of D.C. and President Trump. But it is great to be joined by the mess lord himself, Mr. Panini Pete, from Ed's Seafood Shed. Pete, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt. Thank you for all that you do.
Yep, I would hope that he calls right back. So he just dropped off the phone. Yeah. Yeah, he must be on the causeway. Water must be there. He's come back now, so let's get him while he's there. Panini, you there?
There we go.
Pete. Nope, it wasn't. If it was, that wasn't his phone anyway, was it?
Well, no. Well, it may or may not have been, Tom, but I do know out there on the causeway, sometimes the reception is less than stellar. So who knows with the storms we've been having.
But I know that on occasions when we've been over there doing remotes, we would have some problems with some of our signals too. So that could be him. That having the same problems over there too with his cell phone. So. We'll if he goes back, we'll bring him on.
I will say this, Tom, Pete had to shut down most of his venues during the course of the virus pandemic, all of the shutdown orders, and I believe all of them are back up and running at this point. I know I visited Ed's this past weekend. And I'll tell you, they took the time that they were shut down and did some fantastic upgrades and renovations to that place, Tom.
Oh, it was unbelievable what they've been able to do with it all. We've got a lot of new areas. I have a new bar in there. I call a bowling alley, but it's like 30-something feet long. But,
I think you can play shuffleboard oysters.
I think I'm going to take my bowling ball over there and bowl a few. put up some beer bottles on the end of the bar and then see if I can throw a strike.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, that's the area that I know you mentioned bar, but it really it's the oyster bar that he's got set up there and. I believe both Nick and Pete have mentioned that's where they're going to have, sort of that boutique oyster area where you
right,
can pick
yeah.
and choose from different types of oysters.
Well, and I understand.
Enjoy. So I'm looking forward to that.
I understand, Cal, that they're also going to promote the local oysters farmers here on the coast area. So they'll have those oysters that are farm raised.
Right. Oh, yes. I think that's probably going to be one of the more unique things that they will be able to offer there. Most places, if you ask them where their oysters come from, they'll probably be able to tell you, oh, well, Louisiana or Texas or whatever. You know, they can point right out there to the bay,
right,
and tell you, you know, it's right out there over in that area. So at least you know exactly where they're coming from. And it's just going to be, I think, a unique dining experience. But went over, and the service was great. The food was great. It was a little odd where they were having to play musical tables, trying to figure out how close they could get people next to each other to stick with the social distancing.
Well, guidelines. That is one of the weirdest things that I think I've ever seen. I stood at a restaurant yesterday and counted. The restaurant has all the tables are four people to the table. And at these tables, there was only mostly two people. And I counted 25 vacant chairs. I said, now, if they just took a skill saw and cut those four tables, you know, in half and put two people on each one of them, then, you know, they could get another 25 people in here and still be within their figures, you know.
Well, there you go, doing that country boy mouth, Tom.
There you go, man. Country boy mouth.
Anyway, hey, on the other side of the break, Miss Mary Howard with Lifeline's Counseling Services when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Up on their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only three win the Green Beret.
My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans, for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans. Today, our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And it is great to be joined by Miss Mary Howard, the 211 call center manager for Lifeline's Counseling Services. Mary, welcome to the Scuttlebutt, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans and their families.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for having me on this evening. I want to definitely talk about Lifeline's and 211 and how we are definitely working to support our veterans each and every day.
Mary, we have been promoting the 211 hotline continuously for probably a year or so here now. But we've never actually had anyone that actually ran the hotline to give us a hands-on breakdown of really how that works. And if I'm a veteran or something, and I call in and I'm in trouble, I'm destitute, then how do you guys handle these calls, and what can you do for our vets?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for promoting us, Tom. We really appreciate that. What we do, when you contact the line, you definitely will be welcome on the line with a 211 call specialist, and we will actually ask you what brings you on the line today and figure out what those needs are. And through those needs, we determine exactly what resource to connect the veteran to. And one thing that we love to do, Tom, is actually follow up with our veteran callers. Let's say they called us about maybe a utility need or something like that. We will give them a referral based on what they tell us, and we refer them to an agency. and follow up within a couple of weeks, which would give them time to actually reach out to that organization that's offering that assistance.
Well, you know, that's awesome, because I didn't have any idea or any information that you guys would do a follow-up. I figured it was a call-in, get a phone number, and then you, the vet or could call and get his help from that other service. But now, with all of that being said, we have a lot of these facilities that are shut down during this COVID-19 pandemic. So how does that work with you guys? What do y'all now do?
And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because oftentimes people think that 211 is just giving out a phone number to someone and not really knowing what that number goes to. We're vetting the resources that we have. We're making sure that they're still open, finding out what hours of operation they have so we can disseminate that out. We don't want to just give you a phone number and not actually give you something that we've actually called and followed up on. So that's what we do.
Dang, that's neat. So in other words, now that you do have some of these facilities that are closed, you pre-check them and all, and keep a running record of who's open, and then if they have different hours or shortened hours, then you're able to ascertain that as well.
Absolutely, and that does make a difference, because in the stage and time with the COVID-19, a lot of people they're heightening their stress, and we don't want to add to that stress by giving them something that's not going to be helpful. So we want to make sure that we're giving them something that we vetted ourselves.
Awesome. Now, I understand that you guys have really been flooded with calls over this period of time. Give us a little rundown about the averages and numbers that you guys have been working with.
Absolutely true. Definitely. We've been really busy. We've had over 3,500 calls within the last couple of months. Oof. And within those calls, we've been able to talk with some wonderful people in our community and our veterans. I definitely want to make sure that we are giving them help. And when they called, sometimes it's just to talk to someone. And we're there to listen. We listen to what those needs are, and we build that rapport. And that's been really helpful.
That's unbelievable. And so, in other words, y'all usually run about 800 calls a month, but now they're up to 3,500?
Absolutely. Within the last 2 months, yes.
So I guess you had to add some additional staff to handle all of that.
Yes, we had to get some people trained pretty quickly, and that's worked out really well. We have an amazing staff at Lifeline. They pitch in a lot, and our normal staff of 211, and I'm not really sure if you know that we're 24-7. Locally, we're 8 to 4:30, Monday through Friday, but we're 24-7. We have after hours through our Birmingham call center, so they've been amazing as well.
Okay, so you are 24-7 then. That being said, give us a little highlight of some of the areas that you may be able to help some of these guys and gals that call in.
Absolutely. So one thing we like to make sure that we're doing, benefits are mostly for our vulnerable population, but anyone at any given time from any walk of life can actually contact us. But we want to make sure that we're able to provide services for seniors, transportation resources, basic needs. Right now, our top three needs basically would be rent payment assistance, food, and shelter. So we're looking for resources in those areas, and we're vetting those resources and giving those out as we can disseminate those out to our callers.
Dang. Well, all of those areas are extremely important at this time, because I would think there's a lot of senior citizens that need that service.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the senior citizens, because most right now they're really vulnerable. Oftentimes they don't have that connection to a family member. So we're that connection to them. We kind of help them understand and navigate resources and help them. Not only we give them the resource, sometimes we'll advocate on their behalf. Because oftentimes when they call a service, they may not be able to get that response they're looking for. So when we call with that follow-up, we find that out, and we'll call back and determine, you know, how we can help them. We'll call the resources ourselves.
Okay. Then, so you actually have more than one service, or more than one company, an agency that can provide the same service, though. So if one of those services, correct, agencies is not able to help that senior citizen and our vet, then you're able to move them over to another agency that may still have some funds. I would think that some of these agencies now are being, like you guys, flooded with all of this, that some of their monetary bank accounts are probably getting a little bit low.
That is true. Definitely they are, but we're working on ways to figure out how we can get more funding going on. And so, and listening to some of our needs, and we also have a partner call where we're talking with our partner agencies, and we're finding out what they have to offer and what they're doing currently to try to figure out how we can actually fill some of the requests that we have. So we're a really good community. We work together.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That And your services, Lifeline's Counseling Services, is located here in the Mobile area. So, as you said, only the backup calls or calls when y'all are down would go through the Birmingham number.
They would go actually after hours. Like, again, we are Monday through Friday at our local office, 8 until 4:30. But after 4:30, they will go to our after-hour center.
But there's still no delay. They have the same information there that you have here.
Absolutely. They're all well-trained, a really amazing group of people, and we all have the same knowledge, and we actually utilize the same database to locate resources within that county or that zip code.
Now, they have, didn't y'all produce some books that has a lot of this information in them at one time?
Yes, absolutely. We had a 2018 guide, and that we can update that and actually have a PDF available on our Lifeline site. But right now, that's on the back burner because we're trying to make sure that we're getting the call.
Okay.
But certainly there is a guide out there on lifelinesmobile.org that's available to anyone that's interested.
That's cool. Now, we only have about a half a minute left. Give us a little rundown of the websites and phone numbers or whatever that people would need to be able to get in touch with you.
Okay. And definitely 211. You just dial 211 from any landline or cell phone. Help is just one call away. You can also text us or call us at 888-421-1266. And again, that's lifelinesmobile.org.
That's awesome. You've done an outstanding job, and you've been very informative on some of the areas that we have been wondering about. And we're blessed to have you on tonight. Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. And we'll be sure to have you back. You're very informative.
I appreciate you. Thank you so
Mary.
Much.
Okay. Unless you have been hiding under a rock, are still abiding by the communist governors and mayoral dictums that you shelter in place to avoid the Rona, you have undoubtedly been treated to the carnage that has been wrought upon many of our nation's largest cities, the great majority of which reside under the normally heavy hand of a progressive government. In the wake of the death of George Floyd, while in the custody of the Minneapolis police, the video of Floyd, a black man with his head pinned to the ground under the knee of a white police officer, during his arrest for attempting to pass a counterfeit $20 bill was certainly disturbing. Much of the nation, including its law enforcement officers, have decried the actions and inactions of the officers in the video. The officers themselves have been fired from the police force, with no due process, I might add, and the one who was seen with his knee on Floyd has been arrested and charged with murder and manslaughter and is apparently cooling his heels at a maximum security prison. For all intents and purposes, his life, like that of Floyd, is over. I have no doubt that he and the other officer seen in the video, if arrested, will receive a fair trial and that he will mount a vigorous defense. However, even if he's acquitted of the charges, he will never be able to return to society. His wife is already filing for divorce. His personal life will be dug up and examined through any and every lens that the news media, politicians, and society in general can polish. In circumstances such as this, there are no winners. The Floyd family has lost a son, brother, father, and uncle, even if he was that one that was always in trouble. The police officers seen in the video may spend the rest of their lives in jails with the same criminals that they worked to place behind bars, or at best, they and their families will have to struggle to overcome the stigma that this scarlet letter will have on them for the rest of their lives. The law-abiding citizens of the cities throughout the nation that have allowed violent riots and looting will be left without local grocery and drugstores and essential services. The dreams of so many hard-working Americans, such as Minneapolis firefighter Corboy KB Bala, have literally gone up in smoke. If you haven't heard his story, Bala's dream was always to open a sports bar, something he almost, and I emphasize almost, achieved after, quote, countless hours working on the project. His initial open date in March had to be pushed back because of the faux coronavirus pandemic. He was set to be ready to finally open his doors in June, but that plan came to a crashing, literally, halt when rioters destroyed his business last Wednesday. Bella was actually on duty at his fire station when he got the call that his building had been burned down. His is only one of countless dreams that have been torched by the mobs that have taken to the streets for a chance to grab a new television, some liquor or jewelry, or the latest Air Jordans, or is it bench Kaepernicks? By those who choose to torch a cop car, chunk a replaced brick, toss a Soviet-inspired cocktail, or drag a trucker out of his cab, whose only crime was trying to deliver the next round of TP so you can wipe your worthless ass. And then you can beat him senseless. Yeah, I'm pissed off. Or maybe it's about the female business owner who tried to defend her business, but was rewarded with a blow to the head. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Even the local, state, and the national economists may not be able to resurrect themselves coming off of the flattening of the economy by the bullshit forecast of Fauci and Scarfinista, leaving a trail of losers from the millions unemployed to the mom-and-pop stores that will never open their doors again. In the midst of all of this carnage, the progressive news media has struggled with one of the basic tenets of the English language, much less journalism, using the accepted definition out of the dictionary for your reporting. Case in point, the progressive news media outlets and many of the leaders of the Communist Democratic Party have decried the heavy hand of the police in the face of what they have described as peaceful protests. B.S. The definition of protest is, quote, a statement or action expressing disapproval of or objection to something. The media has latched onto this, even going so far as to try to pin the blame for violent actions on President Trump for stating the fact that once the looting starts, the shooting starts. We have seen this statement become reality as the protests have become more and more violent, until it became obvious that the peaceniks were intent on killing cops by a bullet, beatings, or bumpers. Of course, the media trying to run cover for the communist leftist Antifa members on the streets and their progressive protectors in blue city government towers have done everything in their power to try to frame the story as one of the peasants trying to stick it to the man for years of racial oppression. Never mind that it has been under the leadership of President Trump that the financial fortunes of people of color have blossomed. With unemployment reaching all-time lows and wages rising across the board, realistically, what we have been witness to is wanton rioting and looting. And I would add premeditated murder of law enforcement officers across the nation. If you don't believe me, the definition of riot is a violent disturbance of the peace by a crowd. So the next time the talking heads in the liberal media want to spin your head to their side, just say no. They are simply lying to you about what is happening, just as they did with Hands Up, Don't Shoot and Trayvon Martin. They do have an agenda to destabilize and delegitimize this nation, eviscerate our common bonds, sacrifice the sheeple necessarily along the way, and ultimately drain every citizen of their wealth so that we, our children, grandchildren, and future generations will live as slaves under the boot of a totalitarian regime a la Orwell's 1984. Oh, and if you need any additional confirmation of the media bias about these violent riots, when was the last time you had a news alert about the Rona diagnosed and dead? Think hard. It ain't happening. You are free to violate the social distancing norms as long as you are destroying personal property and attempting a violent coup against the rightfully elected official of the United States government. My only question to the rioters is this: where are your mamas and sperm donors to stop you from doing such outrageous acts? Of course, for the majority, you're just waiting for your government plantation master to tell you where to go and how to get there. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Clark.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up!
understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, yeah, a lot of good information there in the tirade, especially when it comes to just the spin
right
that the news media has tried to put on this. And a lot of the politicians, as we talked about earlier in the show, you've got the president going head-to-head, so to speak, with the mayor of D.C. And if you think about it, I mean, you would think that they would both want the safety and protection of not only the populace, but the infrastructure there in D.C.
Right.
would be their first priority.
Right. Yeah.
And yet, you know, it seems as though one is wanting to be a little more lenient. One of the things that I find sort of laughable, Tom, is with the coronavirus, many of these mayors instituted draconian curfews, which made absolutely no sense as to why you would impose curfews for this virus where you're already telling people you have to stay home.
Right.
And yet they waited and waited to impose curfews that meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them said, well, you know, we're going to have a curfew. It's going to be from 11 at night until 6 in the morning. Well, you know, the problem is the rioters are already out there at, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. So when it becomes dark, you know, they're already going. So at 11 o'clock, hey, we can abide by the curfew because we can go home. We've already got our TV.
Right. They're all drunk by then or they just stole everything they want to steal.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, that the curfew was great. You know, the curfew needs to start at about 5 in the afternoon,
right,
so that you can get them all off the streets. But, yeah. You know, Tom, we talked a lot about different things that have been vandalized. The VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs in downtown Washington, D.C., was vandalized, amongst other things. And you know, and Tom, it's just disturbing.
Shh.
You don't know exactly where this is going to go, but it's
people
not going
sick
to end well unless people decide they're just going to pause and let things work themselves out.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. I don't
God
know,
God bless
Cal.
America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hurrah.